Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. We as a congregation are delighted to bring you this broadcast. Yesterday, 24th of June, was the Fête de Saint Jean Baptiste, the feast of St. John the Baptist, and he is honoured as the patron saint of Quebec province. While the festival obviously has its roots in Christian tradition and history, all of Quebec, of all faiths and traditions and none, now use the date to celebrate the heritage and history of our province and the best of what holds us together. We learn about John the Baptist from the Gospels. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." Let us pray. God of grace, you created our minds to grow in wisdom. You created our hearts to expand with love for you and your world. You created our voices to tell out of your praise. Fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, that we may worship you in spirit and truth, bold and unafraid to follow Jesus, even when challenges confront us. In this time of reflection, assure us of your presence with us and reveal to us the path you open before us, for we live to serve as your people wherever you lead. God who creates the future, you call us to follow you, yet we prefer familiar paths. You offer us new beginnings, yet change makes us uncomfortable. You invite us into the fullness of life, yet we resist more than we already know. The word says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Forgive us, Lord, and make us courageous disciples, ready to serve in Jesus' name. Scripture says, in Christ we are a new creation. The old life is gone and the new life has come. Trust that God loves you and forgives you. Do not be afraid to make a new start. God of wisdom, open our minds to your truth, our hearts to your love, and our hands to do your will as we listen to the scriptures. With your Holy Spirit, equip us to follow Jesus, who is your living word. Amen. Our reading is about the birth of John the Baptist, which took place some 6 months before the birth of Jesus. And so in our church calendar, we think, when was Jesus born? 25th December, says tradition. So when do we celebrate the feast of John the Baptist's birth? 24th of June. Our reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." And they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." And then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. And all the neighbours were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all of these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him.
Thank you.
You will understand that I, as a good Presbyterian, am not a strict observer of the dedication of particular days to particular saints. You will also know that as a good Presbyterian, I celebrate the communion of saints, the whole church, visible and invisible, that all God's people are holy ones, saints, whether they are canonized by the church or a church or not. Nevertheless, we can't break the chains of history and the bonds of culture. And so in looking up something of the history of the Feast of John the Baptist, I found this interesting snippet about the day from a Roman Catholic source. Apart from the most holy solemnity commemorating our Saviour's birth, the Church keeps the birthday of no other person except that of John the Baptist. In the case of other saints or of God's chosen ones, the Church, as you know, solemnizes the day on which they were reborn to everlasting beatitude after ending the trials of this life and gloriously triumphing over the world. For all these, the final day of their lives, the day on which they completed their earthly service, is honoured. But for John, the day of his birth, the day on which he began this mortal life, is likewise sacred. The reason for this is, of course, that the Lord willed to announce to men and women his own coming through the Baptist, lest if he appeared suddenly, they would fail to recognize him. John represented the old covenant and the law, therefore he preceded the Redeemer, even as the law preceded and heralded the new dispensation of grace. And so that text is saying that in contrast to all the other saints, John the Baptist is recognized not for what he died for, but what he was born for. And that was the question that was on everyone's lips when John the Baptist was born, when they marveled at his late birth to an elderly mother and a father who had been struck dumb by the miracle of God. Did you hear that word in Luke chapter 1, verse 66? Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hands was with him. There's a quotation attributed to Mark Twain, but nobody's actually found it in any of Mark Twain's writings. The quotation goes, "The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why." The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. Well, you and I have at least one thing going for us in that we know the first of these 2 days, our birthday. I'm assuming that's true of 99.9% of people. Apart from our own nativity, there would be no first steps day, no first word days, no first kiss day, no first job day. You must be before you can do. The day you are born kickstarts what you will do with the rest of your life. But then comes the tougher question. What exactly will you do with the rest of your life? And the deeper question, why were you born? What is your purpose in life? And that lurks beneath every major decision we make. Is the purpose of my life to be a physicist or a forklift driver? Is the purpose of my life to let someone put a ring on my finger, and who should that be? Why am I here? To follow the beaten path, or to take the road less travelled? Even when we're not aware of it, this foundational question pulses through every decision we make. Why was I born? After all, it's the most important of the two most important days of our lives, isn't it? We had no say-so on the day we were born. It just happened to us. We didn't decide to be conceived. A birthday is not an accomplishment. But the why of our existence, that's up to us to determine. We have to find our place in this world, achieve our dreams, fulfill our quests. That's our burden. At least it would be a burden if left to ourselves. And it's a decidedly heavy burden because it affects the assessment of our self-worth. And in North America, this is largely determined by comparing ourselves to others. And here, size matters. The size of our home, the size of our banking account, the size of our waistline, the size of our car, and the size of our ego. The value of our lives is decided by how much we have accomplished and amassed. And because there's always someone who has more, who has achieved more, we always feel deficient. And therefore we must take it up a notch. We must try harder. Otherwise the why of our existence ends up becoming an accusatory question. Why haven't you done more? Why haven't you tried harder? And we huff and puff on the treadmill of more, 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 all the while thinking that eventually the whys will be silenced when we've accomplished enough. But the day of enough never dawns. And then we think, perhaps we're doing it all wrong. Here's the revolutionary truth, a truth that is liberation itself. You and I were not born to achieve. We were born to receive. That's the why, the reason for your existence and mine. The primary purpose in life is not doing something, but having something done to us, for us, out of love. Why are you here? God did not create you because he needed you to do something. That's what the other faiths might say. The Babylonian gods of ancient times created humanity to serve them. That was the why of people's existence. Action alone gave meaning to their existence. They existed to be doers, especially doers for the deity. But not so in our Lord's ordering of creation. Our God and Father created us in order that we might be people whom he could love, whom he could bless, whom he could nurture, whom he could save, whom he could give himself to. That's why we're here. God created us in order that he might be your Father in Jesus Christ and a temple for his Holy Spirit. He made you and I to be his own. Whether we're male or female, short or tall, rich or poor, young or old, God formed us the same, to be a perfect receptacle for his blessings. To be in the image of God means to be precisely shaped for receiving God's gifts. Of course, we will do various things in this life. There are good works to be done. Some do more, some less. But what you do doesn't define who you are. You may or may not earn a degree in this season of graduations. You may or may not have children. At your funeral, the whole country may shed tears, or only a few close friends. Your entire biography might require volumes or be squeezed into a few boring paragraphs. Who cares? None of that defines your personhood, who you are, why you are here. John the Baptist was born with a destiny to announce the coming of God in Jesus, to prepare the way of the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet in the wilderness had the task to say to the cities of Judah, "Behold your God, behold the Lord your God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are young." John the Baptist was born to lead people to God. He was born that we, being born, might know God. He, John the Baptist, summons us to repentance and faith that we might not just be born once of the flesh, but born twice, born again of the Spirit into the kingdom of God. This is our identity. This is our freedom. We are free to do without worrying about whether we do enough. The enough has already been done by Jesus. In him, the Father recreated you and I as perfect. And in Christ, that's who we will always remain. In Jesus, we are defined as the objects of God's love. He is the why of our existence. He is all gift, and we are all gifted in him. John the Baptist commands us to receive him by repentance and faith. Here's an old-time prayer about John the Baptist. Almighty God, by whose providence thy servant John the Baptist was wonderfully born and sent to prepare the way of thy Son, our Saviour, by preaching of repentance, make us so to follow his doctrine and holy life, that we may truly repent according to his preaching, and after his example constantly speak the truth, boldly rebuke vice, and patiently suffer for the truth's sake. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Precious Lord. thy hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, lead me home.
Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for from your deepest mercy comes our hope of salvation. In the beginning you began creating the world, and you'll bring it to completion at your final appearing. And through your prophets you promised to save us from all that would drive us into slavery. You sent your servant John the Baptist to prepare the way for your anointed one by proclaiming a baptism of repentance, a refining fire to purify your people. In your Son Jesus, we have seen the dawn of justice and the glory of your mercy and righteousness. When he was crucified, you raised him to new life with the power to save, and now we eagerly await the glorious day of his appearing, when all your children will be gathered home, overflowing with love, joy, and the fruits of righteousness to your glory and praise. As John prepared the way for the Lord Jesus, let us now pray that all God's people may prepare the world to receive Jesus yet again amidst the many need of our times. Let us pray that, like John the Baptist, God's preachers may proclaim the demands of his word without fear. Let us pray that, like John the Baptist, God's people may point out the way to repentance to the rest of the world. Let us pray that, like John the Baptist, God's children may reveal the presence of Jesus in the midst of their friends and neighbours. That, like John the Baptist, God's servant, who suffer persecution, may remain faithful to his truth and patient in suffering. God of the nations, we pray for our country and province as the Fête de Saint-Jean-Baptiste recedes and Canada Day approaches. We give thanks for peace and plenty in this part of the world, and for resources to support those facing difficulties in our communities. Challenge those who govern to share resources as a generous global partner, and to commit to international efforts to preserve the earth for future generations. Guide leaders to set fair policies that protect vulnerable groups and ensure equity and dignity for all. Embrace us all with your mercy and give us grace to respond to the needs around us. Father, make us your prophets as you answer our prayers, Give us and all your people everything we need to be faithful to you and to proclaim your word to the ends of the earth. We ask this through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you for being with me this morning, or at the time that you're listening to this broadcast on the radio or through the internet. You'd be very welcome to join us in person at St. Andrew's Sherbrooke at 10:30 a.m. in person, or again, perhaps online through YouTube and Facebook. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.